podcast episode 66 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners, and today's episode is going to be called
The Warmaster
Army's Revolution.
No, it's called Warmaster Revolution Compendium.
Compendium? Ah, right.
Is the name of it.
Tis very big news, very big news.
I might actually try and rush this one out because he's apparently releasing it tomorrow. We're recording on a Sunday the 16th, is that?
16th, yep.
And he's Alish is releasing this tomorrow on the 17th.
So, very big news. Basically, the committee has produced, well, say he's produced, but Alice produced, but the committee has helped produce this Army's book, which is the Revolution Army's book.
I believe it's called that, Army Warmaster Revolution Army List.
Yeah, it is, and it's going live, available for free. So you have the rule book, you have the Army's book, boom.
And this is a special edition that we're talking about today. We'll get to later, which is a compendium, which has got some new juicy stuff at the end. That isn't in the plain... Well, it comes in two parts, the original Army book.
Yeah.
There's like a PDF and basic rules and advanced rules, and this is stuff that goes beyond that.
Yeah.
But we'll save that for later. We don't need to discuss that. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about 2 weeks in Poland.
Yeah, so the reason we didn't record last week is for the first time since we recorded, genuinely because I was too busy. But because I was away last weekend all with the Army, and then I had a 60-hour week at work, sadly, which was like every day, Monday to Friday. That was me.
I can imagine Hannah was really happy to see you 30 minutes a day.
Yeah, it wasn't, so no, but I'm getting paid for it. And so it led to this weekend where, I had to be some family time. I had to be around.
Yeah, I saw you cancelled the 40K tournament, the War Machine.
Well, I mean, I knew the answer would not be good, so I didn't even ask her. And since the last War Machine tournament I played in, I haven't played any other games.
Right.
So, it would just be walking in there again with, same list, or I might change one of the lists to a different thing. So, and I was like, and it would be fun, but they were definitely going to go four rounds, so it was definitely going to be the whole day. And I was just like, I can't, I'm not going to do that when I haven't seen Hannah and, properly and Hazel for so long. And for something that's not my main game system moment. So just picking your spots, picking your battles.
Mm-hmm. Just one quick War Machine thing. Have you seen they're doing a limited edition miniature subscription?
What was that?
So it's something I've heard of in the past that miniature manufacturers do. It's a good revenue stream. It's what they'll do is they'll have limited edition miniatures, and you sign up either monthly or yearly, and they'll send you a miniature, an alternative sculpt,
which you can use
as part of the game.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And then they destroy the molds.
Why destroy the molds? Surely making the molds is the expensive thing.
Yeah, but they're planning on selling hundreds of miniatures, not just one copy.
Right. Okay.
So they. And I think it's quite relatively expensive, $25 a miniature.
Oh,
right. So it's an interesting thing they're doing. It's not something that a major manufacturer's done before. Some of the smaller manufacturers I've seen do this.
Mm, yeah.
And they're going to make a really big song and dance about destroying the moulds, in the funniest way possible, using flamethrowers or whatever they're going to do to
okay.
The mould. Well and truly destroyed.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the moment with War Machine, is it just needs that...
It needs to stabilise.
It needs to stabilise, doesn't it? That 2017 steamroller needs to be around. People need, it needs to stop being in test mode.
I don't think it ever will with this synth.
Well, that's the thing, is that, it's continually, evolving. And they don't make it easy to be current, essentially.
I've got War Room, so I'm always up to date. But I can't be arsed reading.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you never know... when you're not sure when something's changed, if you follow. I said in the last event that I was using an older version of my Warcast that wasn't current, so it was even
got cards, you're doomed.
Well, that's the thing, I want to use cards, and it's because I'm not saying that everybody cheats, but it's so easy to like, because you can't see the damage being marked and stuff, and things like, I've just lost my arcade, I think I'll just take one of this box. Yeah. You know, like, and that's the thing, it's like, on a cards it's very it's open play. Like, I don't, as I said before, like, I want to reach across and grab your cards and read them.
In their mind.
Because I don't
want
to touch your
in
eye.
Their mind.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have your war room and they'd have their war room and you'd be watching them mark it on your war room. Which is what it's supposed to do. You're supposed to sync and like play a game over war room effectively.
Yeah, maybe.
But it never works.
Yeah.
Because you're relying on two pieces of IT to talk to each other.
Yeah.
And they're random bits.
Yeah.
It's like you've got a phone, I've got a tablet, and they've suddenly got to talk. No, it's not happening.
No, not at the moment. So anyway, what have I been up to? So, Working a lot, sadly.
And the army.
But I have done, and I've got a funny story about the army, I'll tell you.
Of course you have, sir.
So.
Wouldn't expect anything less.
It's
British Army, sir. Best in the world.
Like, honestly, they're managing me out. It's unbelievable. So basically, when I as a student nurse, when I signed up I'll go into the reserves because I didn't have a wage income coming in. Like, and I was like, right. So
I know we've got to pay you to join.
Exactly. And it was financially a good deal, so I did that, and I was like, and I was here. So how long will it be until I am until I can be a nurse in the army? And as opposed to what I am at the moment, which is a medical support officer. Yeah, REMC.
What's that? What's that in there?
Non-clinical job. I mean, I'm currently being used in a non-clinical job. Okay.
Well,
I'm in a medical
regiment.
It's classically, it's in a field hospital, there are the people that work in the field hospital, and then there are people that need to set it all up and organise it all. Okay, the non-clinical staff.
Oh, so like,
there's your mash tent.
Like roadie. Like,
the doctors aren't going to nail the tent together,
like,
are they?
A roadie, a medical roadie.
Yeah, exactly. And now the soldiers re-roll into doing that as well because they're soldiers. But like, I'm currently, because I asked them, right, I was a captain in the regulars, I want to retain the rank, like, how am I get to be a captain nurse? And they're like, you have to be qualified 2 years. Fine.
Qualified as a nurse?
As a nurse, 2 years. Right. And I was like, that actually makes sense to me.
Yes.
I'd be in charge of the nurses, and like, okay, that's fine. And I was like, right, have you got anything in the meantime? They're like, yes, we can let you be an MSO because it's just regular regimental duties, report writing, and it's like, you're in the regulars, so it's fine. And
yeah.
I was like, you'll find it easy. And I was like, yeah, I needed a wage, so I took it. I could have gone straight into the nurse's cap badge, but I would have gone down a lot in rank, maybe even not been an officer.
Like,
so I was like, well, that ain't happening, is it? Because
with pay,
yeah,
you lose all the pay.
Well, no, that's the thing. It's because like you, because I said to them like, well, I'm going to take that option because I need a job. Now, skip forward the 4 years later. I'm no longer a student nurse. I've been qualified 2 years. I put my application into change.
Of course you do.
What could go wrong, surely?
Everything, yeah. Sir. Anything, everything.
So, and it comes back that from the puzzle palace that is Glasgow, where the army's run from.
Glasgow?
It's all,
north of the wall?
Yeah, I know. So,
what?
The army's run out of Glasgow, essentially.
What happens after Brexit?
I don't know. maybe we invade. The transfer is accepted, but I have to be demoted to a lieutenant.
Because
why exactly? No, yeah.
Is that because your boss is a captain and he doesn't want to?
I don't know. So they haven't given me a reason yet. And the CO called me in, to Cambridge to meet him to find out my feelings about this. Obviously not good.
Yes.
I've done nothing wrong. I wouldn't be paid less because the army can't actually do that. It is a matter of pride, isn't it? Essentially. Like, 7 years ago, when I went to Afghanistan in the regulars, I was made a captain to do that, and I've been one ever since.
Yeah.
I haven't been in the army all that time in between the two, but I have worn 3 pips for a long time. Thought of myself as that. I'm not going to be a lieutenant. Yeah,
well,
like,
is that 2 pips, then?
Yeah, it's 2 pips.
Okay.
Yeah, like, it might, to a civilian, somebody, it might sound like a big deal.
I'm sure it's not.
But that's not... I should not be punished, you know? So I said, that's unacceptable, isn't it? Because I'm not interested in remaining what I am because that's not what I'm here to do.
Right, because you want to be
I'm a nurse. Employ me as such. And I've obeyed the rules that you've given me
Jump through the hoops.
Yeah, jump through. And now I'm cashing in. I expect the reward. And lo and behold, oh, because it's, you know, nothing ever's easy. Like, yeah. So basically, my regiment's annual deployment exercise is in Croatia. They've got in 2 months' time. So the CO has said, they've already started fighting this because they don't accept it. They don't agree with this decision, which is nice to hear because it's like, you know.
But do things get changed, or is it just like
I have to wait and
you're
see.
Fighting against a tide of crap?
That's what it does feel like. But I mean, ultimately, I am not going to get on that plane to not be a nurse, if you follow. This exercise, it does sound good. Like, I had a briefing about it because it's getting put together at the last weekend. It does sound like a good exercise. You know, like, you'll be in Croatia and they're going to intermingle Croatian forces with us, which is always the right way to go about it. It'll be a very interesting time. But why would I go there if I'm not a nurse?
You're a roadie.
Exactly. So I've no interest in that. I've always felt that this has just been a temporary. And I've done my duty. I know when. In the army, you learn when to do your duty, when to shut up and do it. But I was like, I'm doing this because I've been told 2 years.
Yeah.
Now I am such a thing, and I don't. And by working for the army in my spare time, I'm not doing agency work in the NHS, picking a few hospitals and getting experience and getting paid well for it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can supplement my pay. I'm an employable person. I can supplement my pay in my own line of work. I don't need you because, like, I can't work anymore in my own job. So I've basically said, like, they've got 2 months to sort that out. Because if it isn't, why would I go? Why would I? I've got, a 3-month-year-old baby. No, 2 months. Yeah, 2-month-year-old baby. So at home, she'll be 4 months when this rolls round. Why would I leave her for that when the pay isn't so important anymore?
No.
I'm not going to, am I? I said that, and it's like I will not accept being punished for no reason. My CO was like, oh, you should put in a service complaint, and it's like in due time. And I was like, yeah, I could, but I don't, like, they don't change, like, it's important to put one in, but they don't actually change anything. They're like, it's the way the army is, it's an autocracy.
We didn't get where we were by listening to the rank.
Exactly. And if they turn around and say, oh, for some reason now we, because I asked him, like, is that policy wrong? It's like, what I was told, was it a lie? And it's like, no, it wasn't. It's just, I don't know why they decided to not honour it. So I'm like, well, that's a broken promise to me. And it's like, whatever I'm promised now will be very hard for me to commit.
You can't even argue it's budgetary, because it isn't, because you're going to get paid the same whatever.
Yeah,
so I don't know.
Exactly. Because I don't think I'm asking for too much. I'm asking for what I was promised.
Did you have it in writing?
I didn't have to have it in writing because it is said policy. Anyway, if they turn around and say, oh, you need to be now qualified 3 years or 4 years or whatever, I'll just career break the army. I'll just like, well, I'll see you later. I'll hand my boots.
I'll come back in 4 years.
I'll come back when I'm qualified enough. You think I'm qualified enough, and I'll ask to like be that. Because the thing is, it's like the CO was saying to me that he doesn't have very many deployable nursing officers, like, who are fit enough to, are healthy enough to be deployed.
Yeah.
He has a lot of people who are broken and knackered and, like, you know, like, he couldn't deploy, but he doesn't actually have many of what I am, like, what I want to be. So he said to me, like, to paraphrase him, to his seniors, like, because of the direction coming down, he's like, you're killing me. Why can't we offer? I offer this guy what was promised him. He'll walk away. Like, he'll leave us if we don't honour that. And because basically, if it was the NHS, if it was like, oh, so this job is a charge nurse's job, and then you go, okay, I'll take it. Oh, actually, no, it's going to be a staff nurse's job. Like, well, I wouldn't take the job, would I?
No.
It's quite simple. And that's a shame. The thing is, I want to serve. I quite enjoy. So obviously, being in the army, I've been in it for quite a while, is part of who I am. And I want to serve, but equally, I'm not a mug. I'm not going to be like, I'm not just going to lie down and take a beating, like, for no reason. And I'll be like, well, I don't need this, do I? I mean, I would like, this Croatia trip does sound interesting to me, but not interest, but
how many days is it,
16.
That's a lot of time away, man.
Exactly. And it's like, I'm not going to go do
16
that.
Consecutive days.
Yeah. I'm not going to go do that. If I'm not employed the right way, so at the end of the day, I might, instead of having this busy life where I've got a young child and two jobs, I might go to one job. Because life would be a lot easier if I had one job, and if I wanted to do extra shifts, I could pick and choose when those are.
Yeah, I certainly would. Certainly would. Interesting time. Do you play any games after, apart from your
yes.
war gaming at the weekend?
But I just something you'll find quite
funny. What do you call it, LARPing?
No, something you'll find quite funny.
Army's not LARPing.
No. Well, okay. So we were
sure doing,
so at the
it,
weekend
sir.
We were doing this Loaded March, right? Which is the what's it called? AFT. Army Fitness Test. Basically, it's weight marching to a certain distance to a certain time,
yeah.
And you're doing it as a squad. And there was like 70 of us doing it, so it looked like it looked good. Like, as in, like, yeah, this is proper, like what a squad of soldiers should be like. Like, it's very, very old school.
Right.
You know, like very old school kind of test. I mean, it is originated
for
from...
these reserves, yeah?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They're not all like peak physical fitness.
No, and sadly not. But the thing is so the officer's place is at the back because it's harder at the back because the PTIs push a steady pace and the people that drop back create gaps and it's harder for the people at the back because you do this by getting a steady rhythm. At the back, you're constantly running and stopping because it fades back. And that's where the officers go because it's harder. It's actually not. It's easier at the front. So I was doing it, and I've always found this kind of fitness to be quite easy. Like, as in, like, I'm quite good at moving with weight. I'm, like, just the way I'm built. And so what I would do is I would periodically just run around the squad, just sprint off and just run around the squad, just to show the soldiers that I could do it. As in, like, just to show they stop complaining. Like, you're doing the thing we're paying you to do.
Right.
Like, part of your job is achieving this test. And it's not difficult. Look at me, like, sprint away from you. Yeah, like, when I choose to. But, and that's the thing. Because the PTIs, they're shouting the hurry up, the dog barking, I would say. And I was, so my shtick for this kind of thing is pride, essentially. Is like, heads up, you know, look proud. Yeah, because we're on public display.
Yeah.
We went through, like, the base we were at is close to a little town that we had to march through twice. And it's like, we're on display now. Like, smile. Like, don't look a shit state, basically.
Like, you're dying.
Yeah. Because, yeah. I mean, doing stuff like that is far better for recruitment than any advertisement on TV or everything. Because, like, we marched past a campsite and all these kids came out to watch us go past.
Oh.
And it's like, and they're not going to know that, oh, we're a bunch of medics.
Yeah.
They're just going to see a bunch of soldiers with rifles. That's all they're going to see, remember, because
yeah.
They're only little kids. And that might spark in them a desire for that in the future. They're like, oh, do you remember?
Desire to know more.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, and, you know, we like, recruit a lot better if we look the part when we're being watched, you know? And I was like saying, I was just like pride, essentially. I was telling the soul, so what I'd do is I'd sprint to the front of the squad and then I'd turn around and go backwards, walking backwards down it, like talking to all of the guys and girls as they go past. Like, you know, hold your head up. Like,
schmoozing, sir, schmoozing.
Being an officer.
Schmooze. I can imagine it all.
Anyway, it was a bit warm that weekend and I came back with a bit of a heavy, like, burn/tan. Because, I mean, the thing is, you can put protection...
Lobster tan,
well,
yeah.
You can put protection on, but you're just sweating it off. I mean, it's like, you know...
Lobster tan, brilliant.
Mm.
Right, getting,
I mean, like
any games,
to see this
2 weeks, yeah? You haven't played any games?
Yeah,
that's very good.
Yeah, I have played a game because, you know, I got Dungeons... I talked to you about Dungeon Saga. The Mantic Dungeon Crawler.
I have heard of such a game, sir.
So I got Simon to do them, paint the models for me.
All right, yeah.
He's done them.
Yeah.
Adam's come round and we've had a bash at it when it's all been painted.
Is it nice?
It's lovely. And I've been doing the doors and stuff, the scenery, because it's all quite simple stuff to paint. So, we had a good crack at it, you know, one time while I was babysitting Hazel, you know, in the 2 weeks. That was obviously a week ago, but not this week. Haven't had time for anything. But, and that was quite fun, actually.
That's
it's a good little dungeon crawler, that. It's,
It's interesting. You know you've made it when all your little board games are painted.
Well...
Because then, what else is there in life? You'll need them.
I mean, it's just... Everything just looks a lot... I mean, because it just looks a lot nicer when it's
painted,
doesn't it?
Of course
yeah.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
So, if I get Space Hulk, I'll get it painted.
Yeah, exactly. And I've also been doing... I've been putting together... my Warmaster stuff. Like today, I've been putting together a Lizardman army. you know, like for Warmaster, like getting them all clipped, cleaned on bases, that kind of stuff. I want to play you with a Chaos Dwarf army.
Well, one day, when we get to that stage, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Out of the first 14, it is 14, I think, the first tranche.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to get those done, and then we can start worrying about fancy pants like Chaos Dwarfs.
Wood elves.
Right, so that was a little bit of an interesting insight into Paul's life and world.
Oh, I mean, like, I guess so. Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. So mine's been pretty more mundane. What have we been doing? We've played a bit of Magic.
Yep.
As always.
Mm-hmm.
Modern, and I've played I played 40k a couple of times.
Yeah, I've got a game organised on Wednesday. Yeah, because I was going to play Anthony, but he's pulled out because his young son is getting getting harder to like get a routine into him. It's obviously so he's like anyway. But Dave picked up straight away.
That is an interesting period of life.
Yeah.
I'm getting to the three major,
yeah.
Is he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but his so Dave Downs picked up a game straight away. So I'm playing my cult against Primaris Marines, which would be good for me because that's the other force that I would have waiting for the codex.
You're playing Primaris.
I'm playing against Primaris.
They're the only ones that have beaten me.
Have they?
And they.
But that was early, wasn't it?
I was using a box set, one box set against his.
That's not serious. Yeah.
Since I've tailored my list, I'm unbeaten, sir. Mm. Unbeaten, crushing all. I played Shape. He had a Tau.
Dirty Tau list. I was
big gun Tau list.
Because I played that night as well.
Did you?
Colt against Tau.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was on the table next to you.
You were like 25-0 up on it.
Against Luke's heavy Tau gun army. Like tanker, my Colt won 17-7 on objectives. I was running away halfway through the game. I just switched it and I'm like, I've scored everything I'm going to score. Now I run because if I have one model left, I'm not wiped out. And I was running away, going for distance.
Back to the mines.
Basically, it's
back
like
to the mines.
I can't I just go he can't kill us all if we get out of range.
So Shape, I won. I was going first. He sees the initiative.
Oh,
that's a kick in the balls.
That's a kick in the balls, that, isn't it? You can command re-roll that dice,
I can command re-roll.
You know when you roll to seize the initiative and you have those command points, you can use one to re-roll that dice.
If I'm rolling?
Yeah, if you're rolling.
If you roll a six, I can't make you re-roll it.
No, but it's that you can re-roll anything. That's a good tactic.
I saw Mark do that.
Yeah.
So, and he went really gung-ho.
Yeah.
With all his Tau, because he wanted the Land Raider dead. So he deep struck stuff in,
yep.
And he flew stuff in, he did this, and he was all over me. And first turn, he gave me a good old
shenanigan.
Good old shoeing. But one thing the Nurge does is takes his shenanigans. And comes back.
Because endless saves.
Endless saves. And with him being so close, I would say, I hit all my numbnuts, the Poxwalkers, because they were just getting vaporized.
Yeah. Too much.
The guns were just too big.
Yeah.
It was just, so they just hid behind a building. And then the floaty blow drones started eating him out, all his infantry. They were just taking a squad out of turn.
Yeah.
And we managed. I think he was overconfident in deploying his stuff really close on that first turn. And we managed to smash his big stuff, and then all he had left was Fire Warriors. And they're cheap, they've got a decent gun.
Yeah, I'm packing a pulse rifle. Yeah.
It's mad how many times you shoot those bone drums. I've got to get
still
in.
Still there.
Yeah,
it's
supposed to be Tower. Tower's supposed to be quite good in this edition.
They are. They are. I mean, with the state, the meta of 8th edition 40k, they're going to put out apparently 8 codexes between now and Christmas.
I didn't know codexes exist.
Well, they're going to exist. They don't exist right now.
I thought in Age of Sigmar they didn't exist or something.
No, they do have they have battle tomes. Yes, they do. Yeah.
But they were just not faction.
Yeah, they're bigger than the individual codexes for 40k will be. Yes.
Okay.
They're like the forces of order.
Yes, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So they're more like themed, multi-race themed.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's not happening for this, no?
No, it's going to be then obviously they will lead with their biggest seller, which is going to be Space Marines.
New and improved Space Marines.
Yeah, and then Death Guard will have one individually as well. So they'll be probably out at the same time.
I'm a little bit underwhelmed with some of the stuff I'm seeing for the Death Guard. The vehicles look a bit crap, to be honest. Slab of cheesecake with a big cannon.
What would you expect them to look like? I mean, there's some interesting stuff in Epic that I've done in history. That is like Nurgle big vehicles.
Right.
But they haven't. They, you know, like a plague tower, that kind of thing.
Okay. Man, I don't really know the fluff, man. I just. When I saw the Nurge, I was opposed to the Primaris. I didn't really want just big Marines.
No. So, I mean, the thing is, the more that they, I linked a story about it onto our little thread today. Is the more they are developing their big, which their seller, which is Primaris Marines, the more they're like, you know, forget old Space Marines. Like, yeah, this is the. I mean, they're doing Primaris everything.
Yeah, you know,
Apothecaries, like characters, Dreadnoughts, you know, vehicles, and it's like none of that is going to, you know, that's just the way forward. And it's like, but the upshot of it all is that GW are making a lot of money, and I think that overall, when GW is doing well, it does make the whole wargaming industry better, essentially, because when I think. You know, it's harder for the smaller companies, but like it give, you know, that is the challenge to thrive, trying to swim against the tide, which is GW. But I think overall it improves everything.
Well, people get bored of it eventually, exactly. And then they would need to move on to something that's not GW.
Yeah, exactly. And it's
I'm under no illusions this game is a pile of shit.
Oh yeah, I know.
To be honest.
Yeah, totally. And I agree.
I'm enjoying like playing with my Nurgle crap. Yeah. I know, like deep down, this is not a tournament game. You'd have to be lobotomized to want to play this in a fucking tournament.
The thing is, look, you see how many in our club at the moment, listeners? There's a lot of players playing this 40k, and it's allowing me and Barry to play a bunch of guys we haven't played in ages
or forever. I played Shaver, I haven't played him in years, man.
Yeah,
I played Mark Pokal this week, yeah. I've never played him.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, and that's what it allows you to do, like, and it's not, yeah, it's like, I'll stand with Barry, it is not a great game system, it is very open to abuse. But if you're playing someone you know, and you're like, you kind of have kind of forewarned the abuse in a sense.
Yeah, I'm very
like,
proactive.
Yeah.
Don't be a dick, mate.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm saying like nothing bigger than a Land Rover because that is the wrong. It should be an epic.
Yeah. Like, if it looks like you should be playing on a football pitch,
it ain't the right system.
Don't bring it to a 6x4.
Well, exactly. Like, so there's no need anyway. And you can limit that, of course, by having smaller pointed games anyway. So it's all right. I mean, I enjoy this cult list I've worked out. I enjoy using that. I have no need. Like, it'll be a long time. Like, Gene Silla Cult were one of the last armies. They did in 7th. It will be a long time before they do Gene Silla Cult again.
Yeah.
But I don't mind. Like, this is my list. This is. Yeah. I don't need more points.
Yeah, you don't want to tailor lists. You just want to play with the list.
Yeah. This is my list, and it's like, and it's amusing to me. And then to offset that. You'll be a second list, which will maybe be the Primaris Marines, and already they're
you ain't gonna be buying them, mate. No, you're gonna be getting £23 for a character.
No, but what I'd do is I'd pick up a codex, and I'd work out a list which is interesting, and that's it. Like, you know, but I mean, some of this stuff. Look, I mean, you know, I don't the smash of their vehicle, which looks like a Land Raider and a land speeder. Well, let's see that.
I haven't seen it.
It's not a good picture, basically. It's not a good, like, anyway. But the other stuff all looks really good. Like, that dreadnought does look good. But anyway, we'll see. I mean, I'll pick up the codex, basically, and I'll, like, look over.
I'm interested in the big mutant space marines. Super space marine.
Yeah. Ultramarines. Yeah, anyway, so you'd play Shape?
That's a great check. That was a good game. Played Mark. He brought some. I don't know the name of them. Desert.
So, yeah, yeah.
Desert Guard.
Yeah, no, basically.
On horses.
Yeah. They're the Forge World's Imperial Guard regiment. Yeah.
And he had the world's most crazy transports with like a billion guns on it, and they weren't even that expensive. I think they're about 120 points or something. So
like similar to like a Chimera.
Yeah. Oh my god, they're just like all the guns. All the guns.
Yeah. Well, you won.
I did. Well, he conceded.
Right. So, I don't understand. Like, what, you just...
He put everything into the one of the blow drones early.
Yeah.
So, like, literally everything. He must have rolled 200 dice to kill this blow drone.
And it did, but he did kill it.
He did kill it.
Yeah.
Well, he killed it with an assassin in the end. And he killed it by the assassin being over 9 inches away, so I couldn't flamer it to death on the way in.
That seems a weird rule. Like...
Yeah.
Really,
you think the further you away, the more chance you got to shoot it?
Yeah.
Well, you haven't.
Yeah, that seems really a strange rule.
But It's an abstraction, I guess.
Yeah.
It's just like the further you're away, the less chance there is I can react.
Yeah, it's anti-intuitive, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm gonna burn him when he gets in with his close defence flamer. Oh no, he started running at me too far away. Better put the flamer away. It's like, well, yeah, I don't get that. I'd be happily to say, no, of course you can fire whatever you want to fire.
They're the rules. I don't know. I'm not saying that.
I mean, it's been asked, and that is the rules. But I mean, at times you just have to okay. Be honestly, you can do that.
To be fair, Typhus is just ludicrous. the boy is just ridiculous. So he charged these horses.
So guardsmen on horses. Yeah.
Two wounds each. Yep. Beefy. Yep. Plus two strength on the charge. All this a million rules for them. 10 of them hit Typhus, did no wounds. Typhus killed more. They're all gone.
Yeah.
See ya.
Wouldn't want to be here. I made you pox drones.
Because they were suffering from battle shock.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, getting scared, running away. Yeah.
Well, they don't run away, they just evaporate, don't they?
They just shoot more. Yeah, well, that's to say, that's the it represents the men running away.
Yeah. So, I've never played Mark before. It was a relatively friendly game. He had some cheese. I didn't realise how cheesy my list was, because all it was is two box sets. Mm. I had to use Typhus rather than the guy in the box, because they're the same points and they're ridiculous.
Yeah, you've already gone over this, yeah.
And a Land Raider that I used to have in my loft.
Yeah.
It's not a Chaos Land Raider.
No, it cares.
There it is, and that's it. Land Raiders never died yet.
They really don't.
I mean, the game's not great, don't get me wrong, but if you want an easy game to play with your kids or something like a popcorn game, then it can do worse.
It's exactly what it should be, a gateway game, a gateway drug. So, it's very easy to learn. Honestly, it's super easy to learn. You know, and if you can, there's so much of this stuff around on eBay and things, it's not hard to pick together something that...
If you want small marines...
Yeah. It's not hard to get together a force, at a 1,500 point size game, which I'd recommend. And then, there you go. It's, take it for what it is. It's very nice.
Okay. I'm going to spend a bit of money on some audio improvements. So this may be the last time we record this way, just to let people know. And so we might have little jingles and stuff going forward.
Oh, yeah. In one of the battle reports, channels, they all do sound effects. They put in post-production sound effects.
Oh, that sounds a bit complex.
I wouldn't recommend it. But it's funny.
On the video, isn't
it? Yeah, on the video.
Oh,
yeah. Like, Shazam!
Really?
like, when they cast a spell, it's like,
Pachish! Is this how he earns his living?
I don't know.
Does he have no kids?
We're
not going to go that far. We might have, so you may get a little jingle for KR going forward.
Yes,
KR!
Which we should say right now.
Yeah, that's one. That was the link. Mm-hmm. A very ham-fisted link.
Yep.
But KR and Multicase.
Fantastic. Been our sponsors.
Been our sponsors for a long time.
They have. And
they've done the business.
They've done said business. You know, if you need to carry models, KR is the way.
If you want to get in there in one piece for not too much dollar.
Yep. KR can sort you.
They can. Right. So what else we got to talk about? Doctor Who?
I want to talk about the tennis as well. Yeah. It's a woman.
Is it?
I thought Doctor Who's a man. But it can be a woman, can't it?
Could be whatever you want, I guess.
I've never been a Doctor Who. I've never really watched Doctor Who.
I watched it. What's the guy?
Christopher.
No, I did it. That enough.
Right.
He did one season.
Yeah.
I did one season.
Yeah, it seems to be is that in the contract that actors have a high turnover, they don't last long as Doctor Who? Because there's been 13 actors so far.
It's true, but one of them only did one film.
Yeah, I suppose.
That's an American guy.
Yeah.
Seven or eight or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think Christopher Eccleston just didn't want to be pigeonholed. And he's a good actor, so he didn't really need it.
Yeah. But it's fair enough, they've now cast a female as the lead. Why not? The character is obviously...
There's going to be some nerd rage, though, I can imagine it, man.
Whatever.
I'll wait for Eric's not that I imagine he watches Doctor Who anymore, but he's definitely going to have some...
Something to say.
Something to say about the... Mm-hmm. In the same way he was talking about Spider-Man, this was an interesting one. I haven't seen that either, but apparently there's a big kerfuffle about MJ.
Well, his love interest?
Yeah.
Is what?
It's not the stereotypical MJ.
Well, okay.
It's like an alternative type of MJ, like a demographic. So I think she might be black. And so he was like, and then the director came out and said, oh, actually, that's not the same MJ. It's a different person who just happens to be called MJ.
Yeah.
There is another MJ.
We'll be bringing in the white chick later.
What the fuck are you talking about? It's like, just if you've done it, just say you stand by and say,
mate, they should have had his love interest being a boy, being a guy. Why should be gay?
It doesn't matter.
Should be gay Spider-Man. Jeez. Be like,
whoa. Doesn't bother me in the slightest, but I mean,
also his Auntie May, Auntie M, isn't it?
Oh, that was interesting.
She's too young. She's not an old, grey-haired Auntie May. She's not like a grey-haired old lady. She's like
a fox, yeah. A cougar.
She's like hitting on you know,
Stark.
Stark is like his sort of age. Yeah,
well, that's a nice play. I think I don't mind that.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, I'd like to see it. I haven't seen it. I'd like to see the movie of the Drive. The Drive.
Surely Aunt May, right? Does that not imply, was it his grandma or his auntie? I thought it was his auntie.
His mother's sister.
Yeah, so why would she be so much older than his
grandma? I don't know. It's just in the other movies it
was.
She could
be his younger sister.
Yes.
Mum's younger sister.
It's true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, people just get hit up about too much, man. Whatever. But I mean, don't throw your boat, don't fucking watch it.
Apparently, this Spider-Man is the best Spider-Man movie so far.
No, Eric's not having that.
Oh, is he not?
No.
Oh, okay.
Didn't like it at all.
Yeah, but he doesn't like a lot of things.
He doesn't. But it'll have to go some to beat the Wes Craven movies. The original three Spider-Man. I like them a lot, man. I like Wes Craven.
Tobey Maguire.
Spider-Man.
I liked William Dafoe as the Green Goblin.
Yeah.
That was good.
MJ didn't.
Because he's a good actor, and he was very good at showing both sides, like Gollum-esque, like, of his character. You know, and that was the best thing about, like, he just had a line in it where it's like, I was going to kill you easily, but now you've really pissed me off, I'm going to do you slow. It's like,
yeah. I think MJ did my nutting, because she didn't have to do anything but scream in the whole three movies.
Jump off a building.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, she's a bit of a pathetic individual, wasn't she?
That's sad. But anyway, so I don't know why we're talking about this now, but anyway, if you don't like it, don't watch it.
Okay.
If you don't like the fact Doctor Who's a woman, don't watch it.
Okay. Something I'll mention is the Wimbledon tennis finished today.
Did it?
Oh, it was classic. I mean, this Federer is amazing. He is the best in all time. Like, because I've been stuck at work
all time.
Yeah, easy. He's the best, greatest tennis player in history.
Okay.
And it's like, so I quite enjoy the tennis, and it's one of the few sports I, you know, generally watch. And I've been stuck at work all week, so I haven't only seen highlights of matches. So today I actually got to watch the final. And the story is like, so no one's won eight men's singles eight times. And as much as they dress up the female and the doubles and all the other things, the men's one is where it's like, men's singles is where it's at. That is the premier event.
Well, they have to play a little bit longer, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah. And Federer has gone through this competition like John Wick. He's not dropped a set, and he's 35. Like, he's come back from an injury. He took 6 months off, came back from an injury, and it's just the most amazing play. Like, it's consistency. He's like, he won't win every point, but he's going to win all the points that matter. If you follow,
yeah.
Like he'll turn it on when he has to, like John Wick, yeah. Like, and so he gets to the final, and this guy just implodes against him, and he made it most easiest looking final ever. Wow. Like three sets, it was over in an hour and 40 minutes.
Whoa!
He'd won. He did the second set in like 25 minutes, 6-1. And his games are all just like. Like 4 points, like hit, one return back, die. He didn't, like, it was just.
Minimum energy.
Yeah, it was just like, he got 100% of his second serves in and pointed. It was just like, and he's playing for fun. It's just like, over there, and I've won again. The thing is that he's so good that he has every right to, like, almost to be arrogant.
He's good hair, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah, but he doesn't. He's like, there's my two sets of twins, two girls, two boys, you know, like, obviously.
Two sets of twins? Oh, man.
Yeah, like,
I bet he's got some nannies. Yeah. He's not doing that.
Well, that's the thing, it's like they said, he's won over 100 million in prize money from his competitions, say 10 times that in endorsements. I mean, like, man's got money, like, he can afford help, and he's just effortless. He's just cool. It's just like, yeah, other people turn up with like branded, sponsored clothing. He's got his own clothing line. Roger Federer clothing line. That's his own brand.
Like
Tesco's own brand.
Yeah, like it's just like, I mean, he's in the debate for greatest sportsman ever. Yeah. I mean, it's just quite amazing. Probably. He hit a point in his semi-final game, which was just unbelievable. So he's playing the semi-final of Wimbledon. The other guy is no chump, you know, he's a good player. And the highlight was he'd hit the ball in, and advanced to the net, and he's covering the left-hand side, and he's played it so Federer has to run to get it.
Yeah. Right?
Now, the accepted play is Federer hits that ball at the run, across court, because that's the shot he can play, which the other guy smashes it at the net, wins the point.
Yeah.
Federer, at the run, hits the ball, and it goes been so far out, it goes round this guy.
Oh, round the net.
And then round this guy, and comes back in, and scores in the and wins in the point. Right. And the guy's like, I was guarding that side. Literally, it was just like, it's like, how did you do that? You know, like,
it's voodoo!
Yeah, it's like, he just, like, looked at the camera, it was just like, what are you, you know.
Why?
Yeah. I'm made to look like a fool here. It's hilarious. And they're like, and you just see that, and you're just like, and Federer's just like, oh yeah, fine. Cheers. Next point.
Excellent. Okay. Well, good. I must say, tennis doesn't really blow my boat.
No.
American football's my game.
I used to play tennis as a kid. That's probably good.
I do play it with the kids occasionally.
It's a hard game to get good at. Hard. Squash is easier.
Yeah, especially for a man of my physique.
Smash! Well, you would like this. In the seniors doubles event, which is obviously not what it's a lot.
McEnroe and Connors.
No, so some guy of your physique was
my physique.
Of course, calling out like advice. And so the female just gave him the racket, and he came in and played. Like, if you think you can do better, come
in.
And he came in and played a point. It was so funny.
Yeah, come on. Then.
Yeah, just get in there. Like, you do it. It was like, and they're like, okay. Like, and it was allowed. Like, it was like it counted in the match.
Well, it wasn't serious, was it?
I mean, the seniors event isn't serious anyway. It's just like it's retired tennis players.
Score a winner, yes.
No, it was rubbish. But like it was just hilarious. It's just like, yeah, come on then. Like,
come on then, big boy. Put your money where your mouth is. Right, okay, we've got to get into the real time. I think we've been talking for a little while already, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Get to the real meat.
Yes.
You've had your fish course and you've had your sorbet.
Yeah.
And your starter. So let's Warmaster Revolution Compendium. So what was the
version
compendium?
One.
I think I had some Warmaster compendiums in
yes,
my lot.
Yeah, that's what those other books were called, weren't they?
So they took War Mags.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Were they called War Mags?
Yes, right.
And they squashed them together, like best of War Mags type affair. So this takes your basic Warmaster rulebook and it adds things like there's a little bit there. You read that. You got the voice for stage. Editor's notes.
Editor's notes. From the great man, Aldrich himself.
But that is Ailish, isn't it?
Ailish, yeah. Ailish. So, editor's notes. As Rick Priestley once said, the Warmaster Ancients, WMA, is practically the second edition of Warmaster. Actually, the second edition of Warmaster, WM, was written as well. However, it was never, and likely never will be, published.
Right.
Knowing this, our gaming community focused on the WMA rules just to find out and solve most or better than all the blind spots of Warmaster, e.g. cavalry supremacy over infantry, support issue, etc. In our eyes, it was obviously an advanced version of Warmaster, and as the WMA covers a different setting to WM, it is not possible to simply use the rules with fantasy army lists.
Yeah.
There already has been an attempt to create WMA rules for WM armies made by the French Warmaster community. They created the Warmaster Evolution rule set, but written in French. We would love to use these rules. Unfortunately, none of us can speak or even read French. We would love to. We decided to create our own rule set written in good English, so everybody from the worldwide community can use it. We named it Warmaster Revolution in respect of French rules, unlike Warmaster Evolution, which is a complete rewrite of Warmaster Ancients, plus flyers and magic. War Master Revolution is based on the structure of the original War Master rules. The point is to be more familiar to War Master players.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's this is the definitive version 1 rule set.
Yeah, and it's got some added juiciness that I didn't even know existed until earlier this week when Alice posted something up on the forum, and I was like, "Oh, what's this?" And I had a look at it, and it has got, on top of the normal like basic rule set and advanced rule set, we then go into optional rules. So we have some advanced terrain rules. Some battlefield rules. So it talks a little bit more about setting up scenery, yep. table size, deployment, and it brings forth four new scenarios.
Are they new?
Well, new.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Master Revolution.
Let's have a look at them.
Yeah. So we'll go. The first of which is called Take and Hold. It's page 83.
Good name. Good solid name.
That's correct, sir. So I've got a laptop here, and we're going to go A3, so take and hold. And he's taking this from somewhere, because it's got a lovely... I don't know how to zoom out, that's why it's got...
Take and hold. So the aim of the scenario is to fight over certain objectives rather than just breaking your opponent. The battle can be played at any number of points, however we recommend 2,000 or more. Special rules. After any setup, players take turns in placing 4 game objectives. They can be
sounds quite similar, doesn't it?
Does. They can be any kind of markers or preferably some terrain feature such as buildings, lone trees, shrines, etc. 2 of the objectives should be placed 15 centimetres from within the central table line, objective zone B on this little map, and the remaining 2 objectives outside the zone as well as outside the deployment zones, objective zone A. So you have 2 in the middle and 2 either side. You know, like, oh, you know, basically each side of the table has 1 closer and 1 more to the middle.
Yeah.
Out of your deployment zone. After all the objectives are placed, roll for sides and deploy your armies within the deployment zones. The game is for a random number of turns, 6 to 8 decided during the game. Victory points. Victory points are awarded not only for breaking the opponent and for holding the objectives at the end of the game, no matter whether the army was broken or not. An objective is held if a non-confused unit is within 5 centimetres of the objective, while there is no enemy unit within 5 centimetres of the same objective.
But this is a very GW style of objective play, in that it only matters at the end of the game.
Yes.
So if it's random, and you don't know if it's turn 6, 7 or 8, if you're on the objective turn 6, and the game goes on to turn 7, you haven't scored anything.
Yeah. Flyers cannot hold objectives, however, they can only collect. They can only contest them, which is good, because they are very real. 2 points for breaking the enemy, 1 point for holding the objective in the objective zone next to your deployment zone, so the closest one, 2 points for holding the objective in the central objective zones, and 3 points for holding the objective in the objective zone next to the deployment zone. So basically, 1 point for the one closest to you, 2 points for each of the 2 ones in the middle you're fighting for, and 3 points if you've got the one on the other side.
Of 8.
So if you only get 2 points for breaking the enemy, you're going to have to play for the objectives.
Well, I presume breaking the enemy either causes the game to end instantly.
I would think so, yeah.
Or you play on even with a broken army. So it must end the game instantly, and then you tally up.
Yes.
Well, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. I mean, that is one for us to try. It's lovely presented, and that could replace the take and hold in our tournament pack.
It could. Everybody's going to have access to it.
Yep.
Battle for the tower.
Well, so this is a classic Warhammer.
We're reading this out. Hopefully, it's not like the Wizard Tower in 7th edition.
Well, let's find out.
I hope not.
This scenario features a bloody struggle for a tower positioned in the middle of the battlefield. The battle can be played at any number of points, however, we recommend 2,000 or more.
Good.
Special rules. Along with other terrain, place a tower or any similar significant terrain feature such as a farm, house, monolith, shrine, right in the middle of the table. So that'll be 24, 30. Etc. Maths not good. Right,
2 foot by 3 foot.
Yeah, this deploy terrain feature counts as impassable terrain. Good clarification. Deploy your armies as usual. It's a 20 on. A player controls a tower if at least 2 of their non-confused units of infantry or cavalry, or in any combination, are touching the tower and are not in combat, and no enemy unit is touching the tower. The game is for a random number of turns, 6 to 8, decided during the game. victory points. It's important to control the tower at the end of the game, no matter which side withdrew. Yeah, so it will end when you break. Points are awarded according to the situation of the battlefield at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Which is 2 points for breaking the enemy, 2 points for controlling the tower, 1 point extra if there's no enemy unit within 10 centimetres of the tower, and 1 point extra if there's no enemy unit within 20 centimetres of the tower. This bonus stacks with the previous one, so you get 2 points for that. So, again, if you have been broken, but you control the tower, it's at least a draw.
Interesting. Then we have this. This is the more interesting.
But that one above, that's easily done in a tournament because that scenery piece can be really anything.
Another interesting thing to notice when you're looking at these pictures, not a great deal of scenery on these tables, is there? There's like one, two, three, four.
Is it only showing what it has to show? Like, as in, I don't know. Yeah.
This is maybe a little light, but this is the kind of amount of scenery I'd want to see on the table. I don't want to see like a table full of bloody scenery.
That's true.
Like defending the village. Number three.
In this scenario, one player is the defender defending a village and farmsteads against the attacker's army raiding the country. The attacker's army is to burn down as many of those buildings as possible, while the defender is trying to prevent this from happening. The scenario is designed for 2,000 point armies, tournament armies. Mm. Special rules. Along with the other terrain, place a village in the defender's corner. This village should be approximately 20 by 20 centimetres.
It gives some use for those villages you've handed.
Yes. Next, players take turns in placing 4 buildings, starting with the attacker. 2 buildings are placed 10 centimetres from the diagonal axis on the attacker's half of the table, line A on the diagram, and 2 other buildings are placed 20 centimetres on the axis from the defender's side, line B on the diagram. The attacker deploys.
So there's some good maths on this
good
one.
Good maths, yeah. The attacker deploys first in the deployment zone and in the diagram. So it's corner to corner.
It is.
You know, the defender then deploys and goes first.
And there are 1, 2, 3, 4 buildings in the middle-ish.
And a farm. And a collection of a village.
Yeah.
Any stand from an attacker's unit of infantry or cavalry that is not in combat and is touching the building can try to set it on fire by rolling a 6 in the combat phase. Once the building is on fire, it is deemed to have been burned down. The village counts as 1 model for this purpose. Okay. So, scoring. The game is for a random number of turns, 6 to 8 turns decided during the game. Victory points. Victory points are gained for defending and destroying the buildings, depending on which role the army had. 2 points for breaking the enemy. 1 point for the attacker for every burnt building on the line A. So that's the closer buildings. There's 2 of them. 2 points for the attacker for every burnt building on the line B. They're further away. 3 points for the attacker burning the village. And 1 point for the defender for defending the village, so it's not burnt. 2 points for the defender for every unburnt building in line B, and 3 points for every defender unburnt line A. So again, you'll have to be careful when you break, if you're going to break the enemy, when you break it.
Yeah,
you
know, like, surely you're 2 points for breaking, yeah?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
That's an interesting scenario. That is, yeah. That would be harder in a tournament because you'd need the scenery pieces, but not impossible to recreate.
Oh, well, still need the buildings.
Yeah, I mean, and you could, if you had to, they could be card cutouts, couldn't they? If they had to be.
Well, they could. Yeah, they could be anything, couldn't they?
Yeah, like, so it's not, with a bit of prep, it's not impossible for a tournament.
I like it.
Yeah,
I like it. And the next one,
wagon train.
Oh, this is one you and Jim were talking about.
So, a supply wagon train escorted by a patrol force is suddenly ambushed by the enemy. Oh no! The defender's task is to protect and get to safety as many wagons as possible. The attacker's aim is to destroy the wagons and loot them for bounty. Ooh, good bounty. They're like, the scenario is designed for 2,000 point armies. Special rules. Along with the other terrain, place a road running through the middle of the table. The defender places 6 wagons on the road so that no wagon is more than half of the way across the table and no closer than 40 centimetres to the defender's side of the table. See diagram. So basically, the wagon train is from the centre, going back one way down the table.
Okay. Yeah, along the middle.
Then the rest of the defender's army is deployed within their deployment zone, which is 10 centimetres. The attacker is 10 centimetres on either edge, and the defender is in a 90 by 40 block around these wagons. Wagons can move 20 centimetres once they're in the command phase, heading in the direction leading away from the defender's side of the table. They don't need to be given an order to do this. Alternatively, they can be given individual orders, in which case they can move once 20 centimetres along the road or in whatever direction you wish, up or back or forth, or 10 centimetres cross country. Interesting.
Ooh.
A wagon can't be given 2 or more orders in a turn, and any that leave the table by any edge are counted as being saved. Wagons cannot be driven back by missile fire.
By any edge?
Sorry, it says wagons can't leave the table by any edge are counted as being saved, yes.
So you only have to potentially move 40 centimetres, you can move back to the where you deployed from.
It takes at least two turns to do that,
so three
it?
Turns it'll take you to get off the table.
The wagons can be just destroyed or destroyed and looted. The wagon is destroyed when at least one attack, shooting, magic or close combat is inflicted. A unit in contact with the wagon cannot attack it if it's engaged in close combat. To loot a wagon, the enemy unit must destroy it and remain in touch and with it until its own command phase. Only infantry or cavalry can loot the wagons. The game is for a random number of turns, 6 to 8 turns decided during the game. 2 points for breaking the enemy, 1 point for the attacker for every wagon destroyed in close combat, 3 points for the attacker for every wagon destroyed and looted. Mm-hmm. However, a unit that has looted a wagon must survive the battle to yield said points.
Yeah.
1 point for a defender for every non-destroyed wagon, and 3 points for the defender for every wagon saved. I think you're meant to get the wagons off the furthest table edge, I think.
Oh. If I'm fighting against wood elves, I'm getting them off whichever edge I can quickly. Doesn't sound that difficult to kill them by shooting.
So, again, that's harder to do in a tournament because you've got to have a standard there of all, but not impossible.
And you've certainly got to. Yeah, I mean, you've got to have a pitch battle.
Mm.
And then you've got potentially four to do it.
So, what you have there, if you added meeting engagement and pitch battle into the mix, that gives you 6 scenarios.
Yeah.
Yeah. That you could randomly draw in a tournament.
Yeah.
I like it.
You just need to up your game and get your scenarios to look like this.
Well,
if that's what I say whenever I look at stuff like this. It's like, this is beyond me.
Oh,
I can't do it. Maybe he'll do it for you.
Well,
but that's not all.
That's not all.
That's not all he's done.
It's Christmas.
So he's this is just a reprint.
Yeah.
But
it's there.
It's in the book.
Yep.
Sieges and Fortresses.
Yeah.
Rules for playing Sieges and Fortresses, and off it goes all the way down. Oh my god, look at it all.
There's tons of it.
Yeah. There's tons of it. And then after Sieges and Fortresses, which is about 20 pages worth.
Yeah.
There's some scenarios.
Yeah.
Based around sieges.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, a couple of those. And then campaigns.
Oh.
Jeez, man.
Yeah.
So by Rick Peasley and Jervis Johnson. I don't know if that's Alice. I don't think it is. Alice Navarrete, yeah, it is.
Yep.
Well, there you go, sir. With him. So, and there's another 20 pages. Maybe not. Another 10 pages of campaign stuff.
How to run a campaign, essentially. Yeah.
With abstract battle resolution for games, I guess you're not actually fighting.
Yes. Yeah.
But need to be dissolved.
Need to be
decided.
Involved, yeah, like, yeah. To make the campaign work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lovely.
So not only is this kind of produced everything you want it to produce, it's actually gone further.
Yeah.
Produced 3 extra bits of stuff.
Well, I mean,
some scenarios.
Yeah, you know, I was saying how, like, I wanted to expand the number of scenarios in a tournament pack. There's another 4, isn't there?
Yeah.
Like, it's going to make a collection of 6.
At least.
Yeah. And you can't, like, we're going to have to play them all, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
And, like, work out at the next Colchester one we run, like, okay, how can we feasibly have that scenario?
We'll play one tomorrow, sir.
Well, that's what we have to do. We can do a wagon. We can do the orcs.
Not bloody wagon train. As long as I'm raiding. With
yeah, you'll
my
be raiding. Yeah, that's the bad thing. Yeah,
man.
Fair enough.
The dwarves are trying to defend the wagon train.
Why would I raid that wagon? I don't want that shit.
Oh, well, here we go. So tomorrow's video YouTube game will
can
be.
We?
It will be dwarf wagon train versus orc raiding army.
Oh. Right.
No. So yeah, we're recording a YouTube video tomorrow.
Yeah, and we would have done it tonight, but I need to get back to see Poldark.
No words for that.
It's like, I quite enjoy it, and it's
do
family.
You?
It's family time.
Family time. 9 o'clock in the evening is not family time. I'm sure he's got his shirt off most of the episode.
It's so good.
Well,
those damn war leggings. Anyway,
it's not Game of Thrones, is it?
No.
Which is tomorrow.
Which is tomorrow. Yeah,
well, tonight, even.
Yeah, which we'll be talking about, obviously, because we're massive fans. So, this is really good. It's surprising to us because we didn't know that he was. That we obviously, he had a version of the rule set out. But we didn't know
a provisional set. Yeah,
didn't know this was happening, and we didn't know it was going to have these scenarios in it, which is very exciting. And straight away, it's done exactly what I wanted, like, to have done for the next, like, event for us,
which is January,
which is January,
yeah, yeah.
That we're running. more scenarios, boom, they're done. This is, they're in the rule book. Like, we're just adding two into the... Well, I mean, there is obviously your standard game is... Like, yeah, I'm surprised that wasn't listed as a scenario, but, like, that is a standard game. Like, that's another one. We're only really adding one.
I think it's in the main... In the basic rule set, I think, the standard game.
Yeah, we're only adding... We're only adding meeting engagement, which has been our most successful, like, one on feedback, actually. So it's the scenario that we've invented that people really like as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, this is out tomorrow. The podcast, hopefully, I'll get out tomorrow morning, which will be Monday. I'll try and get it out before...
The only thing you'd have to think about, because those scenarios, just the scale of the victory, etc., like with victory points, just how we work that out as...
For us, in our tournament,
that's what we have to work out, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, because our victory points and his don't tie in. Yeah. Well, I'm not sure we can find a way to run that on our...
Ultimately... You know, you win. There's no draws. You win said game. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure Alish is releasing this tomorrow. So fair play to him. I'm sure it's going to be greeted with open, enthusiastic arms by the community.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. I mean, where are we now with an armies book?
It's been floated, I think.
Yes, it's out now, isn't it? Yeah, the armies.
I think so. Yeah. I think there have been a few little minor errors. Like I was looking at. Demons. Yeah. There's a minor error in the demon list where a terrifying mount with one extra attack costs 50 points. I think it should cost 40 points.
Yeah,
but it's only 5 points over 2,000. It's not really. It'll get sorted out in the next mop up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. So
we need to pick up future events. Like there's a set of free.
Oh yeah, you did promise you'd do that to them. Yep. So go, you told them about that. Okay. This will be out tomorrow. I'm sure you'll be able to find it on all your usual Warmaster resources.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be on the Specialist Games forum and the Facebook group.
We'll provide some links on the Warmaster podcast.
Yep.
Facebook site.
So there's going to be a team tournament like in October the 14th. Now, this was going to be in Cambridge, like the officers' mess that me and Janice share, but that is not available, so it's actually going to be in Saffron Warden as well. And that is basically teams of three.
Team triples,
and your events, your results stack. Yeah, so it's three rounds, and best team wins, essentially. So a team plays a team. How they do the matchups, I'm not sure whether it would be like, you know, whether that's how that's sorted. Like the, but the,
I don't think the armies have to be good or evil.
Yeah, they have to be, and they have to be in the same alignment of good, neutral, which can be shared, or evil, you know, which can be shared with neutral. Yeah, and there you go. And that event is on the Saturday, the 14th of October in Saffron Warden.
I'm not sure this already sold out.
It might be, because obviously...
Because they did ask us to share these events, but I think there's only one space left.
Well, what a problem to have. because in the officer's mess, it was going to be probably unlimited, essentially, player number. But in it's not available, and in the church in venue in Saffron Warden, there is a limit. And the other event is the November Tri-Wiz, which is on the Saturday the 11th of November, also in Saffron Warden, which I bought a ticket for. Did you buy a ticket?
Yeah.
So, and that is a 2,000 point, it didn't actually say, I thought, in the email, like you did, but it is a 2,000 point tournament with the possibility of using mercenaries.
500 points of mercenaries.
Yes, if you want to. You don't have to. I probably won't.
I will.
Oh, okay. But
you've got a shoehorn to come in.
But it's there.
I wonder how many lists are going to take cannons, mate. Oh, maybe they won't let us take cannons. Because you're going to have to do it. Like,
I don't know.
Okay. I don't have artillery. I'm taking a cannon.
Mate. I mean, that's quite a way off, but I will decide like if I want to have allies or not. Like, is it mercenaries or not? I mean, it did say allies as well in there. So I'll have to carefully read what is being proposed.
It's the same kind of deal, I think. So if you're good, you can take
neutral. Yeah.
There aren't many neutral.
No.
And if you're evil, you can take...
I think Ogre Kingdoms are the only neutral
ones. I think may be considered neutral.
Well, because it's linked to the army's book, and they're not in there, so they don't exist.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. So I think
it's only ogres, yeah.
I can't think of what else would be neutral. Dogs of War, but probably
yes,
good.
Yes, Dogs of War.
I don't know. Are they good? Are they neutral?
Yeah.
Good. So, what else have we got to talk about? Oh, Blackgate, I guess.
Blackgate, we must talk about it.
Oh, we might have to squeeze it in. It's going to finish in, let me have a little look on the old Kickstarter-ometer, 17 hours' time.
So I will announce this, or you know, like how so this
I did shorten the time frame from 28 days because it got a bit flabby. The last 2 weeks, nobody was doing anything, and people were backing out. So I thought, well, I'll do it 3 weeks rather than 4 weeks. That seems to have worked.
Yeah, but, I mean, there might be. Some people drop back out? Is that what happened last time?
Yeah, because once you get towards the last kind of few hours, people start deciding whether or not they actually want to follow through, because once the money's taken, it's gone.
Yeah.
You can't then say, oh, well, actually, I want to cancel that.
So this is pretty impressive. So, all right, so Barry's done his second Kickstarter. The original pledge goal was £500. As it currently stands, with 17 hours to go, £6,788 has been pledged, which means that his thing has been funded 1,357%.
It's certainly a bit more than 500.
Yeah, quite a bit more. So it's got 80 backers, which I'm obviously one of them.
Not a giant amount more than last time. I think I had 52 backers last time. The difference is that people are spending way more.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, so Barry had planned out in his safe and strong conservative, brain, that he was going to have two more Kickstarters. He was going to have this Kickstarter, which would get so far, and then he would do another Kickstarter.
Third one to mop up what was left.
Yeah. Well, he's had to, there's been such a runaway success, he's had to bring the third one into with this one to finish the whole range. And lo and behold, that is... It has listed everything. So right now, at add-on prices, you can buy the Phase 1 stuff, which is Warriors, Armoured Warriors and Cannoneers, which are cheaper if you buy as a bigger group. You get the character pack for £10.
Don't talk about pricing.
Okay, so the character pack. There's the Shaman and there's character mounts you can buy. There's a Yeti unit, a Savage Kin unit, a Hill Giant unit, a Greenling unit. I want to see the Greenlings. A Junk Lobber, the name you went with. And obviously packs of bases at 50 in a pack. Three.
Yeah. The interesting thing is that my artist was struggling to keep up.
Yes.
I got some done in advance, but then he was having to react on the fly, and he was doing the art after the thing had already been funded.
Yeah, that's what's crazy about it. So the next stretch goal would be Barry's invent another stretch goal, which is already funded by the time he can put the material together. Like, rather than just...
Couldn't get the artist to sculpt
the thing is, Barry, is you cannot, even your northern brain cannot deny that this is a success.
It's a success, yeah. Right. But what it's made me do is make decisions that I wasn't necessarily ready to do. Like, for example, greenlings.
Greenlings. What do greenlings
look like?
We trust. Yeah.
What do they look like? Well, I know what the miniatures are going to look like, but what do the basing look like? Yeah. Are they on a long strip? Yeah. Are they on a swarm base?
Yep.
Are they on a short archery style strip?
Yeah, I mean...
I don't know. But people want to know.
You had to quickly answer,
So I think what they're going to be like archery short bases.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe four, maybe six. I don't know. It depends how many... six, really.
For the army list, you'd had a working army at the end of your original idea of stretch two, of goal two. Like, you'd have had the bone... Right, that is the army you need. And that was the £500 you needed it to back.
But, well, there's a little bit more than that, to be honest. Because you need characters. It's more like £1,500. In all honesty.
But, I mean, there's been such a runaway success that the whole Ogre range is there. And this is the Revolution Rogue, which adds in a unit.
So people were using artillery pieces anyway, I just produced something that they were already using.
Yeah, exactly. And now there's free bonuses to backers of a certain size. You get a free character model and a free bit of art. It's like
I might put a bit of fluff on the back.
Why not? Your fluff.
I've
I know a man who
fluff.
Can write fluff.
I made a piece.
Oh, you
I
yourself.
Wrote a piece of
good,
fluff.
Good job. Yeah. So
called the Ogling.
The Ogling. The Ogling
on the back.
Fantastic. And because your first Kickstarter delivered exactly what it said it did. Did it hit all the stretch goals? Your first one.
It was unlimited stretch. Because it did,
and you delivered, and obviously everyone who ordered some stuff for the original. I mean, like I'm not just saying this because I'm Barry's friend, but like the quality of the models is fantastic.
I claim no credit.
Yeah,
I didn't sculpt.
You are the man putting the artist and the work together,
spinning the plates.
I mean, it's a lovely range. It's like you have to ask is, what are you going to do next?
Well, I can't tell you, can I? Yeah. For lots of reasons. One is like, if I tell you, then somebody else might bloody do it.
Yes, of course. Yeah, of course.
But there will be another range, because eventually, why would you just do one?
Well, I mean,
I don't know.
Yeah, like,
we want lots of 10 mil miniatures out there in the world.
You can't assume that the next one, whatever you will do, will be as good as this one. Because there was a sweet spot in what is available out there, like, and the fact that GW never themselves did an original Ogre Army. They had a unit, but they never did models for Wood Elves. Like, for example, so they never did a range, and there, as far as I'm aware, there isn't an equivalent. You're not competing with somebody because there isn't like a click and buy.
Well, the problem is that most ranges of 10 mil stuff are based on just a couple or three sculpts at 10 mil.
Yeah.
So they're cheap to produce. Yeah. Like, ridiculously cheap. Not all of the manufacturers are like this. Some of them, like Eureka, do like loads of different sculpts. Yeah. Like, sometimes I tip their bags out and they've got like 12 sculpts.
Yeah.
Which is like impressive stuff. But at its base, it's pretty cheap to get a 10 mil sculpt. Yeah. And if you only need three of them, and then you start selling whole units of 30, just three models. Because when I bought my Nippon, there were only three different sculpts.
Yeah.
And you were buying like a bag for maybe like £6, and it had like 30 miniatures in. But there's 10 of each miniature.
There's 10 of each miniature, yeah.
So it's like pretty, well, yeah, there's not much variety. Yeah. The problem with ogres is the sculpts were like, they're way more expensive.
Yeah.
And you can't get away with only having three sculpts in a unit of 9 ogre warriors.
Yeah.
Because they look like crap.
Yeah.
Because they're your core infantry and they need to look good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the sculpting costs were insane. Mm-hmm. And that meant that all the production had to be done in-house, which is why no one had done it, because you couldn't afford to go and get somebody to manufacture it for you, because there's no money.
Yeah, there's no money.
So,
but, I mean, you must be really proud of this.
Well, yeah, I'll be proud in November when it's done. I've got a bottle of mead from Linda's farm.
What was the delivery date?
April.
Is that for this one? Yeah.
October,
yeah. So why is November the?
Can't be finished.
Wouldn't it be finished in October?
Yeah. Well, it'll be finished in October, delivered.
Yeah.
Although I've still got one from the last Kickstarter. This is the thing, right? Cause I was talking to Matt, who does Steamforged. Mm-hmm. Matt.
Yeah.
Matt Hart. And he was saying that like, as much as 5% of the stuff just never gets collected. Mm. So I've sent this stuff to somebody and it's come back. And he's like, hang on, mate, you bought this stuff for like £100.
Yeah.
You paid me to post it to you and it's come back.
Yeah.
Not knowing this address.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you want me to do?
Yeah. It's like, what do you want me to do?
I don't know. It's bizarre that people would spend money on stuff and then never collect it. So I'm trying to sort that out. But maybe... in November, all the postage will be done.
Yeah.
And I'll sit back and say, well,
that was nice.
Let's go away now. Then maybe do something different. Maybe, yeah. But definitely 10 mil. I'm not interested in big stuff. Like, if you were doing 28 mil, you can't compete with GW.
No. I mean,
you're wasting your time.
So what we have on the table here, just because they're just so good, is these two of Barry's Death Guard models. And I was just looking at them, and they're just so full of detail. And that detail is all just... iconically for the Death Guard. Like I picked up this one Marine randomly. On his backpack is three symbols of Nurgle. The backpack itself has been designed like to have air vents in the shape of its icon.
Got the three little things here.
It's on his stick grenade here.
I mean, for some people, there's probably too much detail here for just a basic Marine. I mean, they're literally covered in detail.
Yeah.
Painting them will be a nightmare, but I just won't bother. I'll pay somebody else or I won't do it.
Well, totally. I mean, it's, they are impressive. I mean, yeah, you can't compete with that.
No, why would you even try?
Why would you even try? Yeah, exactly. I mean, what's impressive here is I can see no joins. I can see no fold lines. Like, you know, because the way GW puts its models together, it's all hidden by the model, like where the parts go together. I cannot see a single join line. And this model, yeah.
Well,
they've learnt. We like it.
So tomorrow, while we're recording, it'll still be running the Kickstarter, and then it will finish, and then we will move on. And we won't talk about it too much because I'm not that kind of person. I don't like to blow my own trumpet.
I wanted to talk.
You can blow my trumpet.
Yeah.
Not metaphorically.
Yeah.
Not really. Not in that way. And yeah. So
It's fantastic. I'm so pleased for you. It's just like, yeah, it's
it was weird when I said I wanted an ogre army, and yeah. then you said, well, they don't exist. And then we were laughing about how expensive it was to buy one packet of ogres. You said, fuck this, I'll just make my own. Yeah. I'll just buy the stuff and do it. I'm not doing this.
Yeah, yeah. True northern way.
Northern way. Teach yourself to fish.
Yeah.
And then go fishing.
Yeah.
So yeah. So that was good. We'll do a YouTube video tomorrow.
Yep.
Dwarves versus orcs.
Yes.
Wagon train style.
Okay. You better cut some wagons then out of something. You know, like for us to use. And a little where the road is. Gonna do have to use something.
Right. I've got a road. Okay, maybe not wagon train then. I'm just not sure I've got any 10 mil wagons to use.
No, but like it doesn't have to be. We can just use card cutouts for this.
Oh, come on, man. It's going on YouTube.
I know, but like...
We'll find a scenario. We've got a wizard tower here. Look at this big beast.
Oh, the tower one's easy enough. Yeah.
Do the wizard tower.
Do it if you want, yeah.
Like, the dwarves are defending a tower.
Well, but we're both trying to get it.
Are we?
That's the tower one, yeah.
Okay. No, that's fine then.
Yeah, we're both here. We're both trying to get. We're fighting for that.
What do you want that's in the tower, dwarf?
What?
There's nothing in the tower for you, mate.
There's probably like a dwarf captain or something. I don't know. Like,
it's not on the ground.
There's
no gold in there.
What's her name? The Stark daughter. Yeah, Ned Stark's sister in there.
So, oh no, yeah, mate, whatever her name.
The Tower of Joy, that is.
I was good. I watched that again this week.
Oh, it's so good.
He was a badass, wasn't he? Was he the Lord of the Flower? What was his name?
It was Arthur Dayne, Sword of the Morning.
Sword of with the two swords, yeah?
Yeah.
Yep. Show off, wasn't he?
But no, he's that good. He's like Federer. It's like, I'm this guy.
I bet he was running around his men, running backwards.
Yeah.
Running around his men. Keep up. Smile. Right, so we're going to call it day.
You've got a long podcast.
Oh, I don't know.
It was over an hour last time.
Before I stopped it. Alright, okay, so we'll get back to you. I don't know when the next podcast will be. Probably won't be tomorrow. We'll probably have a YouTube tomorrow, and then we'll try and arrange a podcast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably another evening one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was Warmaster Podcast episode 66 with Paul and Barry.
Fantastic.
Good night.